2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 5. 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 5. When King David came to Bahurim, behold, there came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David, and at all the servants of King David, and all the people, and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, "Come out! Come out, thou bloody man, thou man of Belial. The Lord has returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered thy kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man." Then said Abishai the son of Zeruiah unto the king, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head." And the king said, "What have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, Curse David. Who shall then say, Wherefore hast thou done so?" Chapter 19. Shimei got out on a limb, and he sawed himself right off, because David came back to the throne, came back to power. And we read in verse 15 of chapter 19, Shimei the son of Gera, a Benjamite which was of Bahurim, hasted and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. And there was 1,000 men of Benjamin with him. And Ziba the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons, and his 20 servants with him, and they went over Jordan before the king. And they went over a ferryboat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimei the son of Gera fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan. And he said unto the king, "Let not my lord impute iniquity unto me, neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely the day that my lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. For thy servant doth know that I've sinned. Therefore, behold, I am come first this day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king." And Abishai the son of Zeruiah answered and said, "Shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed?" And David said, "What have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah?" One other portion in 1 Kings chapter 2. Verse 8, "Behold," says David to his son Solomon, as he's about to hand over the reins of government to his son, "Behold, thou hast with thee Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite of Bahurim, which cursed me with a grievous curse in the day when I went to Mahanaim. But he came down to meet me at Jordan, and I swear to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put thee to death with the sword. Now therefore hold him not guiltless, for thou art a wise man, and knowest what thou oughtest to do unto him. But his forehead bring thou down to the grave with blood." And there follows in verses 36 to 46 the story in which we are told exactly how King Solomon put Shimei to the test, and how he brought his own execution upon his own head. Shall we pray? Now, Lord, as we study the story of this man who lived so very long ago, and yet whose record is written for us into the book of God, that we might learn important lessons to apply to our own hearts and our own lives today, we pray that thy Holy Spirit himself may take the truth of God and bring it home in convicting and converting power to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this man Shimei was a reptile of the house of Saul. A slimy individual was Shimei, with a venomous tongue. They tell us that the fangs of a deadly serpent lie folded back in the upper jaw, And when it throws up its head to strike, those hollow fangs drop down. And when the serpent bites, its fangs press upon a deadly sac of poison hidden under its lips, injecting poison into the wound. That was Shimei, a reptile of the house of Saul, a serpent in the path with a mouthful of venom, biting again and again at David during the hour of his rejection by men. As we have seen in our studies of these Bible characters, the important thing, the keynote in each one of them is this: what did he do with David? And what did David do with him? And as we see what these men did with David, we draw the parallel and ask ourselves, what am I doing today with great David's greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Now we are told two things about this reptile of the house of Saul. We are told of his shameless character, and we are told about his shallow conversion. Shimei's character is revealed the moment he's brought into the presence of the Lord's anointed. You know, every spring and fall, our windows at home get what I call the royal treatment, if you know what I mean. When we used to live up in Chicago, it was time always to take down the storm windows, or to put them back up again. And women being what they are, my wife always insisted that before the storm windows went up for the winter, or when they came down in the spring, that the windows are cleaned, inside and out. Cleaning the outside of the window was always my unhappy lot. I would haul out the stepladder, arm myself with rags and Windex and sponges, and sally forth to do that semi-annual miserable chore. I'd wash and shine and polish and scrub, and at last, you know, the windows would look real good to me. And then, after I got everything put away, out would come the sun, and the slanting rays pouring in through the window panes would reveal all the streaks and all the smudges and all the smears that my best efforts had left upon them. You see, the character of the job was revealed by the sun. The windows looked fine until they were exposed by the light. You know, my friend, a person looks fine till he's exposed by the light. But you once bring a person into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and immediately all the streaks and stains of his character, all the faults and all the flaws will be exposed. It's what the Bible calls conviction of sin. Thus it was with Shimei. Bring him into the presence of David, and oh, what a spectacle the man is. For there is something about David that brings out the very worst in Shimei. It was all in him, deep in his wicked, unregenerate, apostate, and rebellious heart all the time. But when he comes into the presence of David, it stands exposed. All the venom and the hate and the spite that he felt toward the Lord's anointed. We are told how fully he expressed himself. Sooner or later, you see, God brings every man and every woman to the place of self-revelation. There comes a time in every human being's life when
by something he says, or by something he does. He gives full exposure of the rottenness that lies within. Life may continue on smoothly and uneventfully for months and for years, and then suddenly there comes the temptation, there comes the crisis, there comes that moment when all the insight is suddenly expressed and we stand exposed. You see Lot, for example, drunk and dishonored in his tent. He never knew he had it in. You see Jacob uttering 5 lies in a single breath. All the bentness of Jacob's character is revealed. You see Moses smiting the rock in Horeb in a rage. Or, on the other hand, you see Joseph brushing off with holy indignation the suggestion by that wicked woman that he should compromise his honor and his testimony and ruin his character with her. Or you see Simon Peter cursing and swearing. Or else you see Onesiphorus defying the suspicions of that tyrant Nero on the throne to stand by the aged apostle in his terrible prison in Rome. And thus, God brings us to the moment of self-revelation, and he brings us to the place where what's inside is suddenly exposed. Shimei had always hated David. For Shimei was the son of Gera, a Benjamite of the royal house of King Saul. And he lived in Bahurim on the other side of the Mount of Olives, near David's royal city. And he detested David because David was king and Saul was dead. Because now none of his self-seeking ambitions had any chance of success. Now that Saul was dead and David was king, and David was righteous, and Shimei knew it, and there was nothing in David for a man like Shimei. Everything that David did and said and stood for scorched and scalded the self-seeking soul of Shimei, whose fortunes in this world had fallen with the house of Saul. And for years, he watched with a jaundiced eye the rise of David's star. When all Israel shouted with joy as David smashed the Philistines, reduced Moab to serfdom, pulverized the armies of Syria, Shimei simply sneered. All Israel hailed with tributes of highest praise David's statecraft and his wisdom and his justice and his courage and his resourcefulness and all that there was in the Lord's anointed. Shimei would simply poke fun at him secretly at home with his cronies. Nothing David could do would be right with a man like Shimei. When David brought in Mephibosheth, that poor fellow, lame on both his feet, and sat him at his own table in Jerusalem. One of the greatest acts of condescending grace in the Old Testament. Shimei would say to his friends, yeah, you know, he just wants to keep him where he can keep an eye on him, that's all. When David decided to build God a house in Jerusalem,
Shimei would say, more taxes coming, just you wait and see. We pay, he gets the credit. When David wept over the death of Abner, the general of the armies of Saul, who had fought against him for so long, Shimei would say, crocodile tears. You can bet he put Joab up to that murder. He didn't have a single good word to say about the Lord's anointed. He couldn't find a single good thought about David in his heart. And he's got multitudes of heirs and successors in the world today who can't find a single good thing to say about the Lord Jesus. And then one day, you see, Shimei's opportunity dawned, for rebellion against David broke out in the land on a national scale. The secret whisperings could now be publicly voiced, and suddenly it became popular to take a public stand against God's king, just as it is becoming increasingly popular in the world today, to take a stand against everything good and pure and clean and holy and godly. So the time came when Shimei's shameless character could be fully exposed. David rejected by the nation, in full fight with a handful of his own, down into the valley of the Kidron he went, across the stream, up over the brow of Olivet, past the spot where in later centuries our blessed Lord would weep, in the Garden of Gethsemane, on until he came to Bahurim, and we read, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, and he came forth and cursed still as he came. There's a wealth of significance in that. He was cursing still, it says, as he came. He'd been cursing all along, you see. But now, whereas he had cursed in secret, now it's become a climate, and he can curse openly. Look at him, picking up stones, hurling them at the king, throwing stones at David. Come out, thou bloody man, thou son of a devil! How fully he expressed himself. And all that which had been in his soul all along, it suddenly all spewed out. There it is. You know, the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Let me just be around you long enough, my friend, in your unguarded moments. And what comes out of your mouth will tell me exactly what's in your heart. And so he fully exposed himself. He fully expressed himself. Now that which was bottled up in his breast of resentment against God, of rebellion against God's anointed on the throne, it was all suddenly spewed out and expressed. And he revealed himself to be what he was, a wicked man. But we should note not only how fully he expressed himself, we ought to notice how fully and how foolishly he exposed himself. There was a man in David's entourage as David was fleeing from Jerusalem. One of his personal bodyguards, well versed in the taking off of heads, at trimming men like Shimei down to size,
And when he heard Shimei curse the king, he had his sword in his hand in a moment, and fire in his eye, and fury in his heart. Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? He demanded.
Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his hat. Little did Shimei realize in that very moment that he was cursing the Lord's anointed and fully expressing himself. And all the rebellion of his heart, little did he realize that at that very moment as he cursed and threw stones at David, that his life was in David's hands. And that the only thing that stood between him and sudden death and instant execution, the only thing that stood between him and death was David's grace, David's kindness, David's forbearance. Let him curse, said David, for David recognized that there was a divine dispensation in what had happened, and that for then and for some years to come, grace must reign, so far as Shimei was concerned. You know, people who reject the Lord Jesus Christ fail to realize that they are already exposed to judgment. It's not that at death it's going to be decided whether they'll go to heaven or hell. That's already been decided, my friends. The Bible says that they are condemned already, for God sent not his Son, into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Condemned already! Right where you sit, on that seat, at this moment, you are sitting condemned by a holy God. And the only thing that prevents your instant execution is the grace of the one you spurn. It was the wise word of Solomon in later years, who said, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. One of the commonest mistakes that a man can make is to think that because God does not immediately and instantly execute him for his wickedness, that therefore God doesn't exist or is totally unconcerned about what happens. And so we are told of Shimei's shameless character, how fully he expressed himself in that moment of revelation, and how foolishly he exposed himself, and nothing but David's grace held him back from immediate judgment. My friend, if God is staying his hand in your life, if you are not yet saved, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't think for a single moment that because God in his mercy is extending grace to you, don't think that he's overlooking what you say and what you do. The story next goes on to tell us about Shimei's shallow conversion. And the setting is full of interest. Times have changed. And in the expressive language of Holy Writ, the king has crossed over Jordan. His foes have all been defeated, and he has been triumphant over all. crossing over Jordan in Scripture is a symbol of passing through death to resurrection ground. And it was there that Shimei had his second confrontation with David the king, who had crossed over Jordan. And of course, in all this, as we have noted before, David is really just a picture of a greater king who has passed over a greater, deeper, darker river than Jordan, who stands today on resurrection ground and confronts men and women with himself. We notice that when Shimei met David this second time, he professed himself to be repentant. And mark you, Shimei had all the outward marks of a truly repentant sinner. And if the passage that we read in 2 Samuel chapter 19, if that were all that was said about Shimei, we would confidently say that he was truly saved that day. Notice what Shimei did. We are told that he fell down before the king. He was terribly afraid. He was under deep conviction about his sin. He knew that he was in danger of judgment and death, and he knew that he deserved judgment and death. He was under conviction of his sin, and he fell down before David. That's what he did. You know, the very first thing that a Christian worker looks for when he's dealing with a person about his relationship to the Lord Jesus, he looks to see if this person realizes that his behavior has earned him the judgment of God. And he wants to know if this person is really under deep personal conviction of sin. And is there any evidence in this person's life that the Holy Spirit has brought him to the point of repentance? You know, Shimei seemed genuine. He fell down before the king. That's what Shimei did. And then we are told what Shimei declared. He flung himself at the feet of David, and he said, "I have sinned. I have sinned." What more could you ask than that? Doesn't the Bible say if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness? There is nothing more important when dealing with a person about his relationship to the Lord Jesus, than to hear that person confess himself as a sinner.
We love to hear a person who has responded to a gospel invitation kneel in the presence of God and say, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come." That's what Shimei declared. He said, "I have sinned." And then notice not only what Shimei did and what Shimei declared, notice what Shimei desired. He said, "Let not my Lord impute iniquity unto me, neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely." He said, "O Lord, forgive! O Lord, forget!" And I tell you that if anybody that I was talking to in a counseling room took blind language like that to the Lord, I'd have no question in my mind that he was truly saved, that the real root of the matter was in him. He wanted his sins blotted out from the mind of the king. That's what he desired.
And that's what every truly convicted sinner desires. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, forget. Shimei professed himself, you see, to be repentant.
And on the surface, it seems that he was sincere. David said, "Thou shalt not die." Now, although David was
a forgiving man, he was not a foolish man.
What Shimei actually received that day was not
justification,
simply a stay of execution. He was given time to reveal his true condition of heart, whether or not he had really been repentant. You see, there are so many Shimeis running around in church circles today. They have made some kind of a shallow profession of faith in the Lord Jesus. It doesn't really mean anything. It's just from the teeth on out, you know. It's so easy in some circles today. You just put up your hand in a meeting. Somebody counts your hand, and down you go, you're saved. Nonsense. You see, we see some cheap counseling, some just believe, that's all, just believe.
The result is an empty profession of faith, void of genuine repentance and real rebirth. That was what happened to Shimei. He professed himself to be repentant.
You notice, furthermore, that he pretended
to be regenerate.
As we come back to the story, we come on now to the time when David has been replaced on the throne by Solomon. And I suggest to you that in the typology of the Old Testament, David represents Jesus as Savior. Solomon represents Jesus as Lord. You see, the acid test of a genuine conversion is not the profession of Jesus as Savior, important as that is, vital a step as that is, and no real conversion can take place without it. But the acid test, the real ultimate test of whether a person is genuinely saved, is not whether he professes Jesus as Savior, but does he submit to Jesus as Lord? And so Solomon put Shimei to the test. And the whole point and purpose of that test proposed by Solomon was to find out whether or not this wicked man who had found it in his heart to cast stones at David and to curse the Lord's anointed and who had professed himself to be repentant,
now we have to find out whether or not it was real.
And we find that the man who professed himself to be repentant pretended to be regenerate. Solomon drew a circle around Shimei. The circle of his sovereign will. And he says to Shimei, "Now look, don't you step outside that circle. You are allowed to go here and there and elsewhere, but you are not to leave Jerusalem. You stay in Jerusalem." He was given one restriction to his liberty. build a house in Jerusalem, dwell there, go not forth hence any whither.
And the penalty is clear, death.
And Shimei said unto the king,
the saying is good. He pretended to be regenerate.
He gave lip service to a life of obedience to the king. He said that the will of the king was good and perfect and acceptable.
And in his heart there raged a black rebellion against that which was forbidden.
The Lord Jesus said,
if ye love me, keep my commandments. If ye love me, keep my commandments. It's as simple as that.
And I tell you, I don't give a fig for a man who professes salvation, who
every day he lives repudiates the lordship of Jesus Christ in his life.
Shimei said, the saying is good. He professed himself to be repentant, he pretended to be regenerate, and he proved himself to be reprobate. For all his play-acting, the part of a devoted and obedient and loyal servant to the king, he really wasn't. 3 years came and went, and Shimei kept up the pretense. He came and went in Jerusalem. He did as he was told. He submitted himself to the king's commandments. It looked as if he loved the king, and he kept his commandments. He was an obedient, loyal servant. Did what he was told. Placed himself in the position of obedience to the king. Went about his tasks. For 3 years.
Because, you see, during those 3 years, nothing particularly happened to make the will of the king that irksome. It was comparatively easy for him during those 3 years to live in Jerusalem. His friends were there. His home was there.
But at the end of 3 years, 2 of his servants ran away.
I don't blame them a bit.
And immediately Shimei revealed all the latent rebellion that was in his heart all the time. For the moment it became irksome for him to keep the king's commandment, he broke it.
Shimei arose, we read, and saddled his ass and went to Gath to Achish to seek his servants. It was an act of willful defiance of the known and revealed and acknowledged will of God for his life. And in that act, he proved
that he had never really given his heart to the king.
He crossed the line between God's mercy and God's wrath. We read the king called Shimei and said, did not I make thee swear by the Lord? Why then hast thou not kept the oath of the Lord? Thou knowest all the wickedness which thine heart is privy to. Therefore, the Lord shall return thy wickedness upon thine own head. And King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord.
And so the king commanded Benaiah, which went out and fell upon him, that he died.
You see,
the whole point of the story of Shimei is this. His heart had never been changed.
I ask you this morning,
are you truly saved?
Or are you simply paying lip service to the Lord and yielding him just a token allegiance to his will? For just as surely as Solomon drew a circle around Shimei and said, you stay there. The moment you transgress and cross that circle, you die. So surely
the Lord will one day draw a circle around you.
And just as at one time you expressed all the latent rebellion that was in your heart against the Lord and against his anointed,
so we will come to the place where just as defiantly you will express your disobedience of his express command, and you'll do it for the last time.
I can't think of a more solemn story. What a tragedy. To come to the place where you actually come forward in a meeting and you make a profession of repentance and you say, oh Lord, forgive, oh Lord, forget, I'm sorry, I don't want you to hold it against me, I'll do what you say, I want to be one of yours. I'm not to mean it at all. And your life proves that you never meant it. And who do you think you're kidding? Certainly not God.
Shall we pray?
Gracious God and Father, thou art the only one in this meeting this morning who can know the hearts of men and women. And there's not a single heart here that isn't exposed to your all-seeing eye. There may be some here today who have professed themselves to be repentant and who have pretended to be regenerate, who have never really been truly saved by putting their faith in the Lord Jesus and accepting him as Savior and Lord. We pray that thy Spirit may search out such a one today and bring that one to the place of true repentance and genuine acceptance of Christ. Bless my people, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we sing a verse of a hymn? 314. We'll just sing the first verse of this hymn. King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. King of my life, I crown thee. Now, why not make that a prayer from your heart? 350.